Welcome, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. A Reagan-appointed judge earlier today issued an absolutely blistering opinion. I'm going to be talking about it a little bit later this afternoon. But the language in that opinion, it is specific. It is shocking. And the judge was ruling on Donald Trump's attempts to deport students here on visas for protesting, calling it a direct attack on the First Amendment. And in other news, of course, we had what was a, what you would call what Pete Hegseth did this morning, the Secretary of War, Defense, or whatever he's calling himself. And the president addressed a room full of nearly 800 generals, their NCOs, and basically told them that they need to make sure that people aren't fat and that enlisted officers are getting haircuts, which the last time I checked isn't really the Secretary of Defense's job. It's supposed to be more strategic. We're going to talk about all of that and so much more. 855-752-4842. We've got tons of sound from that. And ladies and gentlemen, our government is now 6 hours and 52 minutes away from a shutdown. Excuse me, now 6 hours, 51 minutes away from a shutdown, which is, I'm going to call it, certain to happen this evening. Why? Because Republicans don't care if Americans have health care. Bottom line, there's some interesting elements of what's happening. I'm going to talk about those again starting in the 5 o'clock hour. But I wanted to begin today with my special guest. She's back with me. We both had some time off. It's so good to be joined by my good friend and yours, Angela Lang, the executive director of Black Leaders Organizing Communities. Welcome back to the show, Angela. Great to see you.
Thank you. I missed you. And I feel like it's been so long and there's so much to catch up on.
So much happening. Shutdown, insulting 800 of our nation's top generals. Just a couple of things happening. The place that I wanted to begin with you today is the veneration of Charlie Kirk. Mm-hmm. I have been disturbed by this. The House of Representatives passed effectively a resolution honoring him. And only two of the 58 Democrats who refused to sign this resolution were white. Mm. And I have been trying to figure out how to broach this topic in the... I just do not understand why it has now become acceptable to be like, well, if you say it, you know, if you're not yelling when you say terribly racist, misogynistic, xenophobic, homophobic things, it's fine. That's not fine. I don't care how softly you speak if your language is language of violence and oppression. And there was an incredibly astute piece written this week by Nicole Hannah-Jones in the New York Times. It's called What the Public Memory of Charlie Kirk Has Revealed. And I wanted to start there with you, Angela, because it's as if people forgot that our government also serves black and brown folks and women folks. And this is so challenging. And I wonder what's wrong with Democrats that you can't figure out how to condemn someone whose hate speech is so incredibly well documented. And we're going to remind people about what Charlie Kirk had to say, because what he has actually said is incredibly important. But I just wanted to ask you to start our conversation this afternoon.
Yeah, it's been so... the reaction, right? And Charlie Kirk has been somebody I'd been familiar with, given my work and, yes. and what I do. And I have been very familiar with his comments and his rhetoric. And it's interesting how we're seeing Democrats and folks that identify as progressive, like, get on Beyonce's internet and cry over this man, right? When I didn't see them crying over Breonna Taylor, a black woman. or George Floyd or all these other folks. People are like, oh, that sucks. But like, this reaction is so much more extreme. And it's I understand on one hand how people are like, this is very jarring. He shouldn't have lost his life. But also at the same time, I think it's not lost on folks, those same people that are choosing now at this moment with a young conservative Christian white man to talk about political violence. I've been talking about political violence at the RNC potentially and how having guns at the RNC was dangerous. And, you know, we've seen especially Black and Brown people also be murdered for speaking out. Right? Like, we've seen murder of the Black Panthers by at the hands of police for speaking out, for organizing. And I just find it very interesting that right now is this moment that people are choosing to say this is the line. It wasn't at Sandy Hook. It wasn't in 2020 when Black people were being murdered. But it's hard to process, to be honest. And I have some friends who I've seen their content online and I haven't spoken to them about it. But I'm like, this is the thing that has riled you all up when Black and Brown and immigrants and LGBT folks and trans folks have been screaming about so many things. And this is the man you're choosing to hold up at the expense of all of these communities has been really hard for me to sit with.
I would the best or the least offensive way that I think this could have been approached by Democrats would have been to say, we memorialize all who have been the victim of political assassination. Mm-hmm. That speaks to our collective call that that kind, and I hate the term political violence because it puts it in a category as if violence by politicians is completely acceptable, but violence right. directed at politicians is completely unacceptable. But mm-hmm. people who have been killed because they have voiced their opinions as a collective, you know, in the state of Oklahoma, a deeply red state, they're now apparently retiring because he had porn on in the background during a school board meeting. Their superintendent of public schools said, every single public school has to have a moment of silence in memory of Charlie Kirk. What? If I had a child of color, how would mm-hmm. I possibly begin to explain that to my kid? It's just so challenging to me. And to put this in some context, Charlie Kirk has been in the past absolutely lambasted for what used to be mm-hmm. considered extremist views, right? This kind of overt racism used to be verboten, right? It was a political third rail. If you said this, it was a death knell. Yeah. The conservative Washington Examiner published a column last year calling the organization that Kirk co-founded, Turning Point USA, quote, one of the most destructive forces in Republican politics. It said that a healthy conservative movement cannot tolerate conspiracy theorists being presented as serious political figures and called the organization's leadership toxic. But this is coming from the conservative end of the spectrum. Mm-hmm. I just do not have any patience for folks who now seem to be, especially Democrats, who seem to be unable to call the thing that is quacking, that has feathers and webbed feet, mm-hmm. a duck. Charlie Kirk was a virulent racist. Was he a polite arguer? Did he show up at college campuses and spew his racist great replacement theory? Yeah. Do I defend his right to say racist and awful things? Yeah. Do I think we should listen to it? No. Do I think he should be venerated and memorialized as if he's some sort of political hero? Absolutely not.
Right.
Of all of the things that are going on in these moments, this is one of those ones that 58 Democrats and only two that refused to sign on to the resolution were white? what the hell is wrong with white Democrats? I gotta ask.
I've been asking that question for a while. But I think
fair.
What is I think is what's dangerous that we're not talking about, right? Because I think we're all, like, not all, but I think a lot of us feel a way and it just doesn't sit well with us. But I think the underlying element that I haven't really heard a lot of people talk about is how we're through, like, you know, memorializing him and almost like elevating him to sainthood in some ways, right? They sold merch at his funeral. Like, it's wild. It's also just very cringe and weird, but it's normalizing.
Right.
Because as you said, once upon a time, like, it was not okay. It wasn't cool to be racist, right? All of that, all those views and those bigoted views have been underground. And I think in 2015, Trump kind of reactivated that and normalized it, right? And so when an event like this happens and everyone is, quite frankly, whitewashing him and, you know, because of how he passed away, it is normalizing that this is, oh yeah, you know, he may have said some terrible things, but this isn't okay. And then that's kind of how history gets rewritten. You know, you're going to start to see in a couple years, oh, Charlie Kirk, he wasn't that bad. He probably said that one thing. But like, oh, compared to Donald Trump or compared to all these other things, we are being conditioned that this bigotry that he spewed and that Donald Trump is doing through his policies are normal for our country.
And that is the Kirk legacy, right? Like, mm-hmm. The normalization of deeply racist, deeply hateful ideology. And it is not hate to call out hate and say that it's right. Unacceptable. Again, very through the looking glass. The reason that I'm revisiting this, and I've heard from some people, Gary from Madison's on the text line saying, I've heard enough about Kirk. Hey, Gary, are you white? Are you one of the people that Charlie Kirk targeted every single day on his podcast to millions and millions of people? We have to just take a pause and understand that what Charlie Kirk represents now in this memorialized, venerated state is deeply dangerous to the American project. Not just for Black and Brown folks, but it is dangerous to the American project because it allows us to view other people that are unlike us as less than us and deserving of less rights. We're going to remind ourselves of what Charlie Kirk said and some of the impacts of that with some sound clips when we return with Angela Lang. I do this every time, Angela. Angela Lang, my friend and yours from Black Leaders Organizing Communities Block, and me, Maggie Dawn, right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join us, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Keep it locked.